Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic: peer pressure, education, and incarceration. Peer pressure can be an enormous tax on the emotional state, social status, and esteem of an individual. Truancy is at epidemic proportions in some parts of the United States, and the dropout rate appears to fuel the prison system. What can we do to motivate our youth to make better decisions? Let's talk about it. I'm going to start off with a quote. Never lead a friend to his end. Life is short. No one wins. All have been sentenced to die. Why accelerate the process, causing our mamas to cry? Wake up, brothers, or we're all going to die. By OHG. Webster Dictionary says a peer is someone of equal standing, belonging to the same social group, especially based on age, grade, and status. Also, a friend, associate, clique, person name, you might be the same clique, which is a slang term. Crew is another slang term. Homies, old term from back in the day. Corner boys for the old game war guys. Roadies, walkies. And, of course, gang members. People of the same age group and social status. Those are all social, organizations, whether they be negative or positive, anything like that. It's not the issue. But the, issue is that's what a peer is. Somebody you hang out with, look up to, around your own age group, or social, having your same social status. So, a friend is the person who one knows, with whom one has a bond of mutual affection, typically exclusive of sexual or family relations. So a friend is not your family member and it's not your girlfriend. Even your girlfriend can be your friend. But for the definition of the friend we're using here is the person that you feel bonded to. Attributes. What are the attributes of a friend? Well, Webster Dictionary says attributes are a quality or feature regarded as a characteristic or inherent part of someone or something. In short, the things or behaviors or traits that makes a person a friend. So, pressure is the continuous physical force exerted on or against an object by something in contact with it, or an attempt to persuade or coerce someone into doing something. So, then you have peer pressure, people that you have some kind of connection to, in relationship to, that may persuade or coerce you to make a certain decision. So then you have an idea about peer pressure. So peer pressure is behavior that is strongly encouraged, enforced, and sanctioned socially by individuals of the same social status and or age group. That's how you get the pressure when you don't have on the right kind of gear, outfit, clothing, for the time period or that year, the new this or the new that, or something's played out. Your particular peer group might, make a joke about that and cause you to change your mode of dress. Peer pressure should encourage peers to excel, improve in their quality of life, adhere to ethical and moral standards, do what is best, avoid at-risk behavior and or environments. We must define, redefine, and learn how to be a good or better friend. Like any relationship, friendships require some nurturing, understanding, exchange of ideas, tolerance, and social-emotional bonding. These attributes can be observed in positive and negative and or high-risk relationships. So, you can have a friend that encourages high-risk activity, like truancy, getting high, street selling drugs, gang banging for wherever they do that at nowadays, or having conflict, being violent, or something like that, being aggressive, being oppositional, and things like that. So that could be your friend, but that friend it could be a person that you have a bond with, and you shared ideas about how you should live and behave, but that relationship is kind of toxic. So what we want to talk about, what makes a friend? So just to get to, you know, get through this friendship thing, because a friend is honest, trustworthy, loyal, kind, dependable, encouraging, loving, protective, has a high regard for life, their life, your life, and safety, tries to be there when you need them. I had a gentleman say that a friend is that person you'll call in the middle of the night and he'll be there. But, you know, friends have other lives and other responsibilities. So I'd say that friend would try to be there for you in some kind of way if they could. It might not necessarily be able to be there because of the other commitments that they have. But that friend would be with you in some way. He tries to be there when you need them. So is an asset, an addition to the quality of your life. An asset is a useful or valuable thing or person. A good friend does not deceive you, steal from you. A friend that is good does not steal and is therefore a good friend, or a friend that is good. A friend does not place you in danger or encourage at-risk behavior, truancy, violence, crime, sexual assault, substance abuse, etc. It does not turn against you. It does not hate you, behave rudely towards you, take advantage of you, and bully you. A friend does not avoid opportunities to be present when you need or want them. A friend does not discourage you from doing the right thing or what is best for you. A friend does not model or encourage at-risk behavior. A friend has little to no regard for life rules. Good friend does not have little or no regard for life rules, laws, or boundaries. So a good friend does have little regard for life rules, laws, and boundaries. And a good friend is an instrument in the debasing and or early termination of your life. So we encourage everyone to choose your friends wisely. You are subjected to the same standards and expected to behave the same as you require a good friend to have. So friends like you do not always make the best decisions. Having ethical and moral standards will assist you in becoming a living asset in your friend's life. The absence of ethical and moral standards, or the decision not to adhere to ethical and moral standards, places you, those close to you, and those in your community at risk. So what are ethical and moral standards? Ethical and moral standards are ideas about what is right and wrong. Simply, that's the short of it. So we should be conscious, learn from the experience of others, because you do not need to get burnt to know that a fire is hot. So some of the places and conditions you find individuals who make poor decisions. 1, dead, hospitalized, injured, maimed, paralyzed, incarcerated, hiding out, addicted, overdosed, in mental health or DNA hospitalizations. And it's not saying that everybody in these situations have made poor decisions. I'm not saying that. But as a result of poor decisions, you can end up in some of these situations. Adult night school because you didn't make a you didn't commit to going to school. You decided not to go for whatever reason. Disciplinary school because you decided not to behave, to follow rules in school. Dropped out because you weren't committed again to attend school, even though there are other reasons why people drop out. Truant, placement, because when you're truant, you could be placed out of the home because you're not able to go to school at home, so sometimes they place you outside of the home. You could be homeless as a result of what you didn't build on your future by getting education in the past, which would allow you to get a certain type of job that you could take care of yourself. You could be excommunicated from your family or exiled. I don't know. That's a series. That's extreme right there. Unemployed because you don't have the education / the skill set to be employed. And people that do are, you know, getting a job before you. So, conducted by the University of Texas at Arlington, the research data from our students at a struggling high school in Chicago surveying participants on whether they were failing in key subjects such as mathematics, English, science, and social studies, as well as the degree of parental involvement in their life and the number of failing and dropout friends they had during the last year. Using the mathematical model, they came to a conclusion that what subjects are likely to drop out of school, an association that was heavily linked to their increased interactions with other failing students. That's kind of like that thing that misery loves company. And you have a friend, again, that's encouraging you, right, to drop out. It's easy to do if you have friends' support. By contrast, an increase in the degree of parental involvement in a vulnerable student's life was linked to a drop in the number of their failing friends. However, this only occurred if negative social influence had not already passed a certain point. As you know, once you get acclimated towards doing something, it's harder to turn around. So you nip it in the bud, and it's a chance that you could turn that behavior around, parents, friends. Because of these cases, an increased parental presence is likely to result in a rebellious reaction, because once that child has his mind up not to go to school, now you got to keep, you know, you have some parents take a child to school, and that child runs out of the back door. I remember I worked at a group home myself. I took a kid to school, dropped him off in the office. By the time I walked outside, I saw that kid outside. So he was determined not to go to school. So you got to catch them before they get that type of determination. And I know that's very difficult, because you never know. You're not with your kid all the time. So Christopher Cribbs, a professor at mathematics and curriculum and instruction at the University of Texas at Arlington, said, "Positive parenting is clearly very important for students, but the study discovered that there is a point where negative peer influences overcome positive parental influences." Now, I know if you're a parent, you probably were presented with this thing when your kid goes out, he comes back with some stuff he learned that he didn't get from, or she didn't get from you. And, you know, and what happens is that, you know, you have to go to war against, you know, those negative influences, and then parents become, you know, the bad guy. So, 10 reasons why teens drop out of high school, says the womensforum.com. Recent studies by the U.S. Department of Education revealed nearly 1.2 million students between the ages of 15 and 24 dropped out of high school in 1 year alone. However, statistical findings suggest that one in every five students will drop out of high school between the 10th and 12th grade for one reason or another. Here go 10. The studies conducted on 5,000 high school dropouts revealed 75% dropped out of school because they lacked sufficient parental support and educational encouragement. I'm going to say that again. They lacked parental. Oh, I have a caller. Excuse me. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello?
Hello?
Caller? Yes, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello?
Yes,
hello?
Hello? Hello.
Yeah, this is hello, you hear me?
Yes, this is Mark.
Hello? Yeah, this is Brother Mark.
Hello?
You know,
I
was listening to you, you know, talk about, you know, like, far as the kids and stuff, you know, and, you know, parental guidance and stuff like that, right? Yeah, it starts at home because, you know, you had a lot of parents now too busy being, trying to be the kids' friends. Instead of they parents, you know, and I believe if the parents would stop, you know, the friendship thing and be their parent, then the kids would actually begin to listen to. Because if you send a kid to school and the kid don't know nothing about what he is taught at home, disrespect, and if you don't have respect for the parent, how you have respect for the kid? You know,
right. I hear you.
Yeah. Hold on. Hey, I got Kennard on our line. I'm going to try to get him on. Hold on.
Okay. So the second reason was that friends and or peer pressure from other high school dropouts. We talked about that just previously. They drop out of school to join a gang, which, you know, is very difficult to go to school that's occupied by another gang that, you know, your gang doesn't control that school. Not that they control the school, but, you know, you don't have any, you're not safe there because of another gang. And to be accepted in other teen groups and street communities. So you can have problems if you in that.
Nah,
yes, sir.
You want to talk radio show, man.
Huh?
You want to talk radio show now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Who you got? Kennard?
Yeah, Kennard.
Yeah, I hear him. You hear me, Kennard?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, all right. The show today is about peer pressure, education, and incarceration. It appears that 80% of the prison population are dropouts, and we have an epidemic of truancy in the United States. And we're talking about how, you know, peer pressure and what are the causes for truancy. You know, peer pressure is one, we know, and we just mentioned parental support. And I'm going through a list of 10 things that contribute to truancy. Would you have anything to add to that?
Truancy? You said.
Yeah, like why kids don't go to school. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I think it's environment they grow up around. You know what I mean?
Right.
Environment and a lot of kids nowadays, you know, they mothers and fathers ain't too much older than them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's the same thing I was saying, Carlton.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they I look at the young guys up here, they look like they 12 or 13. You know what I mean? They be coming in here. You know what I mean? And they, half of them don't, never been to school. Don't have a GED, never been to school. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I believe you. I mean, so they said over 80%. Yeah.
Right.
So it's a lot of them.
Right. And they need.
Right.
And they spend more money on prisons than they is schools now.
Correct. That's correct.
And that might be that's
amen.
Something that might, you know, be because. I just woke up. I'll try to catch Monster. Mark.
I gotta go on with the show now.
And yeah, you wanna talk radio show right now?
Oh.
No, you gotta talk about what's going on. You can call me another thing. You wanna talk radio show?
Okay, you wanna talk radio show? Okay,
I'm gonna run through.
Right now. No,
yeah.
I'm gonna get my partner right now. He know all about that, right?
Hold on, go get him.
All right.
We'll wait for him, okay.
All right,
I'm going down the list.
Hold on.
All special needs. Teens drop out of high school because of they have special needs that are not being met. ADHD and dyslexia. Predominantly among densely populated high schools where the overcrowded classroom fail to recognize the special needs of a specific student. That sounds like an urban area to me. I don't know. But financial problems. Forced to obtain employment to financially help the family.
This is a call
poverty.
From Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution, Rockview.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
Right.
Okay, we have a call coming in from Rockview. Is that coming in?
Yeah, and see, yeah, he's coming back. And see, a lot of the brothers up there can relate to that.
Hey, it's going right here.
Okay. Hello, welcome
yes,
to Provocative
yes,
Thought.
Sir.
Yes, sir. What's your name, brother?
My name is Irvin Moore.
Irvin Moore, welcome.
From Philadelphia,
today's show,
North Philadelphia.
North Philadelphia, welcome. Today's show is about peer pressure, education, and incarceration. You know, there's an epidemic of truancy in the United States, and we have a You know, we have another epidemic of incarceration due to lack of education. They say 80%, more than 80% of the prison population are high school dropouts. And if you drop out of school, they say you have a good chance of ending up incarcerated. What's your take on that, my brother?
Indeed. I don't find anything untrue on that. I mean, it's a bit more than just a lack of education, because you have to understand
right. That
we have a concerted effort that's been mounted against people of color for
yes.
the last 40 or 50 years. I mean, from the time that we're babies, things in our community are skewed to the point that we get... Take myself, for example. When I was 12 years old, I had a record.
Mm.
And I'm 12 years old. I'm not even a teenager. I'm a baby. And I'm from North Philadelphia. And the members
this
of my little crew...
Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution, Rockview.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
The majority of us had records. I mean, this
right.
followed us all of our lives. In terms of employment, in terms of betterment, even in terms of education, we were
right.
stigmatized and labeled as incorrigible and juvenile delinquents. And we ran through the gamut. Now, I've been incarcerated now 48 years.
Wow.
From the time I was 23, I'm 71 years old now.
Wow.
I've been incarcerated since I was 22 years old.
Mm.
I don't consider myself a bad individual. I don't consider myself an evil person. I have
right.
love in my heart for my friends, my family, my community. And I've been in here for almost 5 decades. The brother that you were just talking to, Kenny, who is my partner, we've been going through this for a long time together. He's been incarcerated almost 40 years.
Right.
And we are not uncommon in the state of Pennsylvania. In fact, not in the nation itself, in terms of incarceration. United States of America incarcerates one quarter of the total world's prison population. I recall in 1969, right before I was busted, before I was arrested, we were protesting
mm-hmm.
down Center City. Brother Cecil B. Moore had us young folks down there protesting. You know why we were protesting at that time?
No, sir.
Because the USSR and Red China had over 1 million of their citizens incarcerated. Over 1 million. Now the United States today has over 2.5 million. So this is not an accident. What it's done
right.
to us, what it's done to our community, what it's done to our families, the nuclear family. I mean, we have all of our fathers and our brothers and our uncles and our mentors, those who could be instructing us in our community, we in these places. And it's so hard to get out. You know, it's so hard to get out.
Right.
Mm.
So
it's systemic.
In terms
wow.
of what's been happening in our communities with our educational systems. What's been happening in our communities with our police forces, with our criminal
right.
justice systems. I mean,
right.
all of it has been geared toward this particular point, which has us, with 13% of the national population, black folk, 13%,
mm-hmm.
yet in these prisons with 60, 70, 80, 90%. It seems
right.
like that's numerically almost impossible. We would have to be committing crimes 27 hours a day, every day of our lives, to merit that kind of proportionality. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm.
Right.
That's deep.
It's deep. It's deep. And the sad thing about it, today I have members of my family who I love dearly and who I've tried to educate. I have them asking me, after 48 years, why aren't I home yet? You know? I mean, they can actually ask. I mean, and they're sincere. They're not joking. They're not, you know, they mean well. And they really don't understand.
Right.
And I know it's because I haven't done my job well enough. We haven't done our jobs well enough because our folks need to be educated about the pitfalls that await them, await all of us. But I'm rambling right now. So, do you have any questions? What do you want to talk about?
Well,
what do you want to hear?
I'm hearing whatever you have to say, brother. I'm gonna go through a little bit of the spiel that I have here, and you can comment if you like. You want to hold on? You want to hold on for the show?
Yes, sir. Well, my brother Kenny wants to say something.
Okay.
We ain't got that much time right now. So, if they say like 1 minute left, maybe we can call you back. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can call back. You can call right back.
Yeah. Okay. Because they ain't said, and
that's the whole thing, like Carlton was saying. He can do a show on y'all. He can do a show with y'all because, like if y'all want to speak more about incarceration.
We got it. Okay. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that off the air.
Okay.
All right. But y'all want to contribute to the show today because y'all have been very helpful so far. And I'm just going to run through it.
Right.
Just stay on the
line,
and if you want to say something, just, you know, let me know. Other reasons for dropouts, kids dropping out of school.
Yeah.
So, out of 10,000 public high school dropouts, 7,000 of them confess to their lack of interest to complete high school. Most often is due to the generic course curriculum. They're bored in school. Bored. Ain't that something?
Well, that was the same. Yeah. That was the same thing Mr. Herb was saying. You know what I mean?
Right.
About the children in the school and everything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Number six.
So,
do you believe it's a conspiracy against the young kids in this population? The reason why I say that, because a lot of kids have felonies before they're even 21 years old. You know,
well, Pennsylvania passed a law if you commit certain crimes, you can get juvenile life.
Right. Well, when is the program going off so we can get back on?
We're done at 9 o'clock. Mark.
Okay.
Mark.
Okay.
Mark, you can call Mark, and then Mark can call me.
Yeah, can he call
after,
right now?
Call me after 9.
That's what
I'm saying. Call me after 9 o'clock.
After 9, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, then.
All right. All right, peace, bro.
I'm going to call you later on after 9, all right?
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, because we get ready. They get ready locked down and everything. You know what I mean?
All right. I know how difficult it is, and we appreciate it. We call.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you. Hey, Mark.
All right, bud. Thank you.
After 9, all right?
Okay.
All right. Love it.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
The caller has hung up.
Hey, call.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
that was a call from
brother,
a very special place. Audience, y'all listening to that call. These brothers are, you know, incarcerated. So.
Right. Yeah, it was incarcerated. They just called in.
Right. They just called in, so they couldn't stay.
And I like what the other brother spoke on when he was saying in terms of how long he was incarcerated. And what I gathered from him, he was saying even from a child, it seemed like he'd been marked. You know what I mean? When I say about marked, like we've been somewhat like discriminated against as a people, people of color, because if you look at the jails, 90% of people that's in jail are people of color. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And jail has became a business now, because if you look at it now, jails are not just owned by the politicians in the state. It's owned by private industries. You know what I mean? You know, like the people that are putting the money up for the jails are basically people like somewhat like our presidents, like congressmen. You know, they had a sheriff. They had a sheriff in one of them little towns. I forgot. Where he was locking people up, right, and holding them and making them work, and making them work for a slave wages, and then they locked that sheriff up. I don't know if you remember, they locked the sheriff up, and Donald Trump went down there and had the sheriff released. You hear about that?
There was a lot of that going on. I heard of different people doing that, something like that.
Yeah, man, it's becoming a business, man. You know. That's why you got all these mass shootings, and you see there's a lot more white on white. I'm not prejudiced, but there's a lot more white on white crime, because they starting to see now it ain't about black and white. It's about the rich against the poor. You know what I mean? It's about the money makers who you know, if you got money, you on top. It's the big spenders. You know what I'm saying? The ones that you know, that makes the economy, you know, rise. Like Donald Trump now, you know, not to take it off for the, you know, the issue is about the kids, right? But when you look at the world today, these kids are forced with a lot of stuff, with different things are put in their mind, and these kids are actually exposed to a lot of unhealthy stuff. That's why they come to school disrespectful.
That's true. And you know, I didn't even get to that part yet, but I'm gonna get to all of that. Here's one of them: drug and alcohol abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Within the top three reasons students fail to complete their high school diploma, depression, physical illness, is another reason why teens drop out. Physical abuse: teen experiencing abuse will run away from home, thus causing them to drop out. Because if you're not in a stable situation, the last place you're thinking about is going to school. In the past, teen pregnancy accounted for 15% of the high school dropout rate. Alternative lifestyles: teens who have introduced to drug dealing and prostitution may view high school as a waste of time because they don't need an education to sell drugs or their bodies, for that matter. So they said the bottom line is what you said at the beginning. Across the nation, if the parents themselves need to equip themselves and their teens with the knowledge and alternative methods, such as going to a continuation alternative school to receive their high school diploma and or get their GED.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply not enough to tell your teen the importance of an education, but it's also you have to guide them through the decision, to whatever decision they're making. Most important is maintaining communication. That's very important point, because nothing works without communication. A marriage, friendship, business, what else kind of thing we do? Club,
right?
You know, anything. It's not gonna work if y'all not communicating. So you can discover your teen's risk of dropping out far enough in advance to really make a difference. You know, once your teen said you got a gang, your teen is hanging with the gang now. Once your teen is entrenched with the gang, that's too late. You ain't gonna stop that. That teen can't go to school because them guys gonna whip your teen, break your kid's neck. We have another call on 6144. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Right.
Hey, what's up, Carlton? How you doing?
What's up, Ken?
All right. There's a couple of factors I'd just like to add, and I think this is a great show. Economic factors. And also, it's by design. Lack of education leads to incarceration. If they know, if they equal the playing field, we make a lot of progress. But they make a lot. Don't you know, CCA, the Corrections Association, is on the stock market. They make billions of dollars. Look, if you get a listing of the investments that is made in the correctional institution, you will be surprised. Dell, Microsoft, Google, Apple.
What about Nike?
All
Nike
these
there?
Big corporations. I talk about billion-dollar corporations. And another thing I just want to add. Now I'll let you go on your show. Each bed costs thousands and thousands of dollars per year.
Mm.
It's a quality they must keep. And when you take the black man out of the family, that's why I think why we have a high percentage of single parent families in a black America. It's because 1.2 million black fathers are incarcerated. That's 1.2 million brothers away from their children.
And that's a trickle down.
And it's by design. And let me tell you, in 1970, J. Edgar Hoover warned the United States of America to stop the, now I want to say uprise, but stop the progression of a culture that might produce the next black messiah.
Say that again.
J. Edgar Hoover said that. It's documented. J. Edgar Hoover said that. And they here come the Heron. Ronald Reagan and his crack epidemic. They pump a lot of resources, legal and illegal, in our communities to prevent us from making progress. And one of those factors is to land. Look, what can you do with 1.2 million black men in prison? What can a community do? Well, a quarter of black men around the world are locked up.
You know what? And you're right. Like the two brothers just called in. One of them been down 40-some years, and one of them been down 40 years.
What can a man do at 70 years old? That's our twilight years.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's years. That's
productive
years.
What are we supposed to be killing? 40 years?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. That's a whole lot of isms. Equality.
Mm-hmm. And that's when I was listening to my brother was saying.
Oppression. And you know what? And we all got, this is the new Jim Crow laws. Mm. They got laws in our communities that we don't even know about that can incarcerate us for a decade. They got prisons underground. Sponsored by Google. Apple. Microsoft. I'm telling you, they did a piece for 60 Minutes, man. And I got to say about Obama, he did try to do something about it, but it's too powerful. And let me tell you something. Mm. There was a county in the United States of America. It came on the CNN. They was complaining because there's a decrease of inmate population and they're losing money.
And didn't they sue or something like that because of the contract, breach of contract?
No, with no laws doing nothing. They were just complaining.
Oh.
In other words, they would tell law enforcement, you better up the numbers. It's by design.
Make some arrests, get some conviction. So what can we do? Grassroots, what can we
do? As a grassroots mentality, we have to stick to our own. You talk about morals earlier. You talk about morals. We got to get back to the fundamentals of keeping our culture. Our culture is being displaced. Incarceration of black men. Our culture is being displaced. And let me tell you something. It's not white faces doing this too. It's black faces doing this also.
Right.
Don't get it twisted. And not just white faces. It's black faces also.
Right. Well, the system is not just white. We know that. in terms of our racial makeup. It's not just white. We know that. So what can we do,
The thing we have to do is that black men had to really, really start going back to the fundamentals, like our elders. Now, today's Veterans Day. A lot of brothers died thinking this was the right way to go to build our, make our culture make progress through military. Mm-hmm. They come home. A lot of people that started, a lot of brothers started NAACP, SNCC, other organizations were war veterans, man. They see that to other parts of the world and they'll get respect. They say, I'm getting respect in Europe. And I come home, I disrespected. I gotta jump in the street, let another culture walk the block. Oh no. I fought hard for this country. A lot of brothers died thinking that this is the way.
So they made
you told me one day, Colin. And you told me, I asked you one day, Colin. I said, Colin, what do you think Martin Luther King, Malcolm X would think how we doing today? And you said, I'm going to quote you, they're crying, unquote. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that conversation. You remember that conversation, Colin?
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to really start thinking about us, not so much of them and trying to get their approval. We always trying to get their approval. City Hall, the State House, and the White House. We got to really start focusing on our family. And what can you do for your community when you're 1,000 miles away underground? What can you do?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You have been neutralized. That's a spook word. That's an undercover word. Neutralization.
You've been brainwashed.
Of a culture. I'm sorry.
How do we stop that? How do we before we get incarcerated? How do we stop this flow out of the school system and into the prison system? That's how do we stop the bleeding?
We got to go back to fundamentals. We got to take over our own education. We got to take over our own businesses. We got to take over our own communities. We have to start from fundamental. You know, I was a coach for 27 years. And the thing I used to tell my ball players, fundamentals, fundamentals, fundamentals. Now, use that as an analogy, but to answer your question, fundamentals, fundamentals, fundamentals. We got to go back to the basics in everything. Oh, you know, we got to stop thinking about good times. See, that's how they got us the first time in the 70s with the disco. Good times. Everything's good time. We are the world. Yo, we tried that.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be... No, we got to be selfish. It got to be about us. It's not
I got another
call,
Kenny.
For yourself.
This is at 036. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, how you doing, Carl? This is Q.
How you doing? Q, what's up?
Right. Good, good. Just want to say hello to you and all the listeners and all the callers.
Yeah, it's Q.
Yeah. How you doing? All right, I believe what you were saying about the fundamentals and everything. That is absolutely right, because you can get kids to school, and even get to school, at the end of school, you can see that sometimes, but definitely when you get to school, they have a culture of everybody thinks it's okay to be a disciplinary problem. You know what I mean? That is the thing that like they got a problem to be maladjusted and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And like you were saying, the fundamentals should be able to get rid of that. Because that means as soon as they pop out the womb, they should be teaching them the right thing. You know what I mean?
Donald Trump. That's why now education is so important that you get it and you get it the right way, you know, because now they're making it as a business. And guess what? The ones that don't have the money is not going to get educated. You know what I mean? That's why we have to stick together and bind together. At one time in the 1920s, black people, and if you think I'm lying, look it up. Black people stuck together and built their own little city. The Ku Klux Klan came in there and burned them down. They had their own stores,
Oklahoma.
Their own everything.
Right. In Oklahoma.
And a lot of people don't remember. It's called Black Wall Street. They got
Black
tired
Wall
of that.
Street.
And that's where we got to go back. We got to go back to the
okay.
same way in the 1920s, but it scared them so bad, they went in there and the state police didn't do nothing about it. You know what the state police said? A bunch of black folks started a riot, and they killed up. And guess who died? It was more black people died than whites. They went near and tore that city down because they was jealous because black people were doing good.
Okay, I got a call on 9042, Mark.
Huh?
Let me let this all. I got another call on 9042. They've been waiting a long time.
Okay,
get them more.
Okay,
right.
Go ahead.
Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought. Yes.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. A lot of the things that's already been said is right on point. It's frightening how it is over a million, because I can remember when President Obama was here for the NAACP gathering, I think it's 2015, and he quoted there was 1 million black men in jail. That was 2015, so that's factual. That's number one. Number two, I know of a family member whose son was incarcerated, and he had a son. They brought him there to the prison, let him visit. So even though those men's in prison, they had children. And whenever possible, even though if the mother don't get along with the father, they can bring him to the prison and have to interact, to write letters, communicate. That would help. They need men in their life, even if they're incarcerated. Women should not give up on those men. If they talk and write, and they can be an encourager to their sons and daughters. So much so, I think every year they go and have a prom in certain prisons where the fathers dance with their daughters in prison. Just to have that contact, their physical contact. But that's something to do now. You know, make that
right.
more available. That's something. They need that touch and that love from their father. That their father want to
right.
cooperate, send letters. They should call each other every week. There's certain things that boys want to talk to the men about as they get to puberty.
Right.
So keep that connection going on that part. But at the same time, the father or mother incarcerated should be encouraging his son or daughter get the education they can get wherever they at. Everybody can't pay for education. Then what they lack is, especially if they want to go to college, that's when community college come in. Community college is pretty much free or very reasonable. They're telling people, even with money, to start with community college for the first 2 years. And so there's things that can be done right now. And then the other end is to vote. Get men and women in those positions that were in pretty education or fight for better education. Do your homework and let those persons and put them off. And when they don't do right, put them out of the office. So that there's a lot of hope there. Give these young men and women hope by being proactive. Then my family, and we were in going to church. I go to church, and in many churches, there's a minimal amount of males in there. They're allowed to stay at home in bed. They're made to go to school, but they're not made to go to church if you're under 18 on your week. Those mothers and fathers say, you will get up, and you will go to church. At least give the Lord at least two hours of your time. That's the part. Then be a part of them going to this on those trips with them. You know, go. Don't take money to walk to a park. Just have conversations. A lot of things out there is free. This time of the year, all year round, there's free events that you could be a part of family. You know, bring that in their life. Go to the library. Make the library adventure. They go to check out books to read. So a lot of things that parents or guardians can do right now to encourage boys particularly to have hope in their life in spite of what they see and hear. And if they do that, then yes, we could turn this around. But we gotta have the will to do it because it's the right thing to do. So thank you for listening.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay, so we need to pay more attention and be more involved in our children's lives. That's the general theme I'm getting to kind of stop the bleeding here. So it says, New York Times says, on any given day, about 1 in 10 young black high school dropout is in jail or juvenile detention, compared with 1 in 35 young male high school graduates. In America, where demand for low-skilled workers is plunging. So that means if you don't have any job skills, to get these job training, you need a high school diploma nowadays or a GED. And I'm hearing some places don't like to take the GED. But if you drop out, it's going to be harder for you to get a skilled job because you might not have the skill. And what happens when you can't work and make it? You know what the old saying says, right? Some people resort to stealing and taking it, or some other means of earning a living. We have 90 seconds, so I don't have time to go through the any more information. But I want to thank everybody for calling in. I want to just quote a young man that I know said to me a long time ago. Mr. Tyrone Short said, it's cool to be square and square to be cool. A square is the old term for a person who tries to do the right thing, adhere to ethical and moral codes. So you can a square can become cool, and cool people can become squares. All they have to do is decide to change the way we perceive what is acceptable, unacceptable, good or bad. Remember, peer pressure should encourage peers to excel, improve their quality of life, adhere to ethical and moral standards, do what is best, and avoid at-risk behavior and environments. Thank you, everybody.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.